For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty? Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What,
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
All right, it is Punch Drunk Sports live in your life. Here we are once again in the new All Things Comedy Studios. We got a packed house full of strangers. We're super excited. Joining us as James is in the room. Everybody, social media, you can't see him. And you're probably listening, so you can't see any of us. He's here joining us. Come down from San Francisco. How long you been in town?
The weekend.
The weekend? Why didn't you come to this comedy store?
I was there last night.
Why didn't you go on Friday or Saturday?
I was there Friday, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was there Saturday.
I saw you there Saturday.
You saw me at the comedy store and you didn't say hi.
Saturday, I was not there Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. What'd you go do? Hang out with rappers?
That was last night. No.
Okay.
No, I had to check.
Okay, boom. And always in there is our tech guy, I guess. We're going to call you the tech guy. He's going to crunch anything we say, look it up for us, so I get off my phone. Let's welcome Frank the Mexican.
Yeah, Mexican. You look like my older brother. I dig it.
Right on.
His older brother's here. you know him from Dirty Sports. Really funny guy. We're going to do a lot. I love...
from jihadists we got over here.
Please welcome Joe Prino, everybody.
Yeah.
Joe, welcome back.
Thanks for having me,
What's
dude?
New? What you been up to since you were last here?
Same old shit, really. Just watching football, doing comedy.
How did doing Punch Drunk change your life?
A lot of weirdos hit me up, you know, telling me I don't watch enough UFC, telling me I don't watch enough all that bullshit you guys were talking about, isn't it? But, you know, it was nice to hear from your fans.
I'm glad you're
back. Get a good group.
I think you're really funny.
Thanks, glad you're
back on the show. And joining us, very excited to have him on. I've always been a fan of his. I've gigged with him a lot of times, and we finally got him in the studio. You know him from the Howard Stern Show. And the Tonight Show, please welcome John Melendez, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. You can call me Stuttering John, too.
Really? Do you mind that? I mean, what's the rule on that?
When I went to the Tonight Show, they didn't allow me to be called that anymore, so I had to go as John Melendez. But now that I'm off that, I can go back to what most people know me as.
As Stuttering John! What was that like, though? I'm sure you get this question a lot, going from Stern to the Tonight Show. And then we'll get into sports.
It's like going from Vivid Video to Disney.
Yeah, it's got to be weird, right?
Yeah, it's fucked up, man. It's going, you know, but it's cool because I wrote for Howard, and then, you know, Howard was a show where we would play anal ring toss, where a girl put an actual pole up her ass, and we would throw rings around it to try and win. And then to go to Jay Leno, where none of that is, you know.
And they didn't get along. Jay Leno and
they did up until that.
That was where it all goes weird.
That's when it all went down, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now you hit me up. You got some dates coming up. You got some shows. What do you got going on?
This weekend, I'm at the South Point Casino with Jackie the Joke Man.
What show are you doing?
Is it
the Dirty at 12:30 or your own show?
It's our own show. It's 7:30.
I love South Point, man.
Yeah, a lot
of people like back in the day, like, oh, you just entertain old people. I do that Dirty at 12:30 all the time.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
I haven't. No,
I'll give you the guy's name. It is fun. It's sometimes people think like, oh, it's Dirty at 12:30. I'm just gonna go up there and just fucking do the filthiest shit. It's within the realm of anything. You know, you're entertaining people. It's not a room full of comics, so you can't do a good hour of rape jokes. You know, but it's a fun show, man. It was packed because, you know, a long time ago, I started doing naughty shows at the AVNs.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if Howard went out to the AVNs. I know he always gets the host to come out
and
do Howard Stern, but I always you know, about 5 years ago, we started just going out there all the time. And now everybody's doing stand-up comedy shows out there because it is fun because...
Do you get laid at those things with porn stars?
I don't fuck the porn stars.
Why?
Because yeah, I am not into filthy chicks. I'm in... Now, hear me out. I'm into fucking hot chicks that can make do filthy shit. Yes. I like to make them filthy. I don't want a video library of how filthy they are.
I like that you don't drink, you don't do drugs, and you don't have sex with porn stars. It seems like you gave up fun.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
You're no longer having
it's
fun.
Like the flying
but I've
nun.
Done so much. I mean, I just don't. I mean, listen, I got hired by Fleshlight to go do the red carpet at XBiz, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, most of the girls don't do anything. A couple of those girls came through, and you're like, you are A-list actress gorgeous. Why are you doing
but
this?
But let me ask you, do they hit on you?
Oh, yeah, I've had all the time.
And you say no?
It's just... It,
wow, I would... I have a very
I
low
no
threshold.
Ability. Yeah, no ability to say no to that.
You're a strong man.
I just... Yeah. It doesn't do anything. I just... I know it sounds crazy. I just like civilians. I just... It's like I'm into just...
I had
fucking,
sex with a Playboy Playmate. It was like the best thing in the world.
Playboy Playmate's different, though. There's not like video footage of her just fucking fighting snakes on a plane.
Not that we know.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like it just doesn't do that for me. But, you know.
Now, when we did the show at the podcast fest together, you were all over the tranny.
She cracked me up. That was one of the funnest times I've ever had. We did talking shit with Eddie Ift and his whole crew. And what's the name of the guy that just kind of is in the trannies?
Jason.
Jason. Yeah. Jason has tranny fetish or
doesn't? I think he has tranny experience and maybe a fetish.
Jason who? What's his last name?
Jason Auer.
Oh, I don't know.
Eddie if you should get on his show. I know him.
Oh, yeah. I love Eddie. Eddie's from Pittsburgh.
Do you know that like if you talk to a lot of people in the porn industry, most people don't consider tranny porn gay. And we actually had a bet here where I had to watch 2 hours of hardcore gay pornography because I lost a bet. And I was like, I'll just bring in fucking tranny porn. And they're like, no, man, that doesn't count. And there was this huge fucking fight over whether tranny porn falls under fucking gay or not. So then we made a deal because the deal was I had to watch 2 hours of tranny porn, gay porn, on ecstasy and boner pills.
and did you get aroused?
No, I actually do a joke about it, and I'm like, I was pissed because I spent so much money on that boner pill that I wanted a fucking rock hard fucking boner, and no matter what I'm looking at, and I got really pissed at it. But so yeah, we went out there. You know, the truth of the matter is, the porn industry as we know it is dying. There's just nobody is paying for porn anymore. So now the only hope is cam models. That's where everybody's going into.
Cam models?
Yeah, where you just... This is a great story. Cam models, basically where you watch girls. You can actually... Any kind of sex you're into, there is a live show you can watch on the internet where they do that.
Yeah.
So when podcasting first started... And then anybody could talk, and you know, I don't have to do all the talking.
No, you're going... You're explaining something to us here.
Yes, I'm learning. Teacher.
When podcasting first started, you know, and everybody was kind of just getting into it, and people who weren't comedians were trying to figure out what is podcasting. A friend of mine who's a famous director, he's like in his 50s or 60s, he came up to, he's like, yeah, man, I love this podcasting stuff. I'm like, wow, you're in the podcast? He's like, yeah, man, you know who does a lot of podcasting? These porn stars. Have you ever watched some of their podcast? I go. Porn stars are doing podcast. This is brand new, and like barely even comedians were doing it. I'm like, porn stars are doing podcast. He's like, yeah, man. You ever been on like you go on Pornhub and you click on their podcast? He's acting like their cam hour is their podcast. Like this, these chicks finger blasting themselves is a fucking a podcast.
And my guest today, my vibrator. We're going to be talking about my vagina. We're going to get a one-on-one conversation going here.
You know, Sam, I'll tell you, this is the best. I was on the road with Craig Shoemaker. We were in at the Atlanta Punchline. So before that, I called DirecTV. I go, hey, you know, I want to cancel because I'm going to be going on the road. So I'm just like put on hold for 6 months. And the girl's cute on the other line. So she goes,
stop.
Yeah.
First part of the story.
Yeah, I know.
How do you know she's cute?
Exactly. She sounded cute, which usually means she's a pig, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, so I'm like, yeah, yeah. She goes, oh, are you performing in Atlanta? That's only 3 hours from me. I go, yeah. She goes, oh, I'll definitely come, maybe. So then she goes and Facebook friends me.
I'll definitely come, maybe. I love when people say that stuff.
Yeah.
Never seem like yes, no.
Well, they she's from Alabama.
Yeah.
But anyway, she comes to the show and she's actually cute. So I take her back.
How old was she?
Maybe 30.
Okay.
Take her back, bang the crap out of her. After I'm done, she's going, I'm going to give you free DirecTV for life.
What?
I told Craig Shoemaker
for
this.
For life.
He's like, oh. He's like,
is there an actual butt naked hit?
Yeah.
For life.
Yeah, it's just because I'm in her family and friends plan.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it is Alabama, so she could bang her family.
Exactly. And then I banged her again for the NFL, the MLB. All right, NBA. But it's a true story. And then Craig saw her and he goes, You didn't really sell this thing. This girl's cute because she actually is.
Well, when you're at that age,
yeah,
you know, I'm over 40. When you get start going clicking farther, any girl 30 is cute. It's really it's really hard to be.
I got a 26 year old in my house right now. Okay,
hostage? What do you got?
I met her on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right, and she's very very slim. So I've been hitting this now, and it's very weird because she's only had sex with two other guys.
That she told you?
No, she was married, and then the other guy wants.
Dude, honestly,
Okay,
chicks
go with
lie.
What you want.
They right, lie.
Sam,
there
go.
Should be some way. You should be able to see by rings in the asshole how many guys. Dude, you have 50 rings in your asshole.
But here's the thing, Sam. I went sober for a couple of weeks. Okay?
Take us through this journey, man. What was your life?
No, the truth is, having sex sober with a girl who hasn't banged that many guys, first of all, she was the tightest I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, and I swear to God, I was under 2 minutes. Because when you drink, you numb all that area a little bit. No, this was just like, done. It's so freaking embarrassing because you think I'm a man of experience. I'm 49 years old. Under 2 minutes.
Yeah. Dude, sometimes you just get in there and you're like, whoa, this is, we're in a fight. We're in a heavyweight fight, and you got to start thinking bad thoughts. There used to be this girl in Toronto. I would have to shoehorn, and I'm not hung at all. I don't have a big dick at all, and it is what it is. I know I got to work a little harder.
No, I'm 5.5, 6
I'm
inches.
Right in there with you. That's where I'm at. I have to shoehorn. That's how tight this chick's snatch was. Yeah. I had to shoehorn my dick. I'm like, I don't even have a big dick, and I'm fighting to get in this thing, man.
Wouldn't that be cool to, like, a girl that thin, you just split them in half, you know?
No,
like,
that'd be horrible.
Suddenly you bang twins. Dude, I was at Scottsdale. You ever do
Are you texting help right now?
Do you ever go to stand-up Scottsdale, Sam?
I'm on right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we know how to get into our Twitter account? Do we have any clue? We had the Jew fucking set up the account, and he instantly forgot what the login info is.
I just know the password. I don't know the email.
You know the password?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll figure it out. Real quick, before you get into your story, I want to do our sponsors real quick.
Yeah.
Super excited. I won money over the UFC fights. We'll get into that. And I bet on BetDSI. I put money on Anthony Rumble Johnson. Made money. Fucking Bader cost me some cash, but I went back and so go on BetDSI. It's legit. Use promo code PUNCHDRUNK, and you'll get $10 betting cash. It's great. It's simple. It's easy. I did it on my phone. I made some money. Love BetDSI. Thank you guys for sponsoring our show for so long. Caveman Coffee. Go Caveman Coffee. Use promo code PUNCHDRUNKSPORTS. Get 10% off your coffee. And then we also have our Amazon links. Our website's great. It's getting better and better by the day. Thank you to all the writers. Use our Amazon links. Start making that for all your purchases, especially now that fucking Valentine's Day's here again, and we got to buy more shit for the bitches. So let's get into it.
Let me just finish this.
Finish the story.
Think of the street cred that your penis has if you split a girl in half with it. I mean, that would be the ultimate. Now I went to the Scottsdale, stand-up Scottsdale, and there was a midget there. I mean, a little person.
Do you, what we've talked about so far, do you think this is going to offend anybody on this show?
Okay, but here's the thing.
This guy does coke
cute.
Off trainees' dicks. Do
this
you think he cares?
Would you ever have you ever fantasized about having sex with a...
Midgets don't do anything for me.
This girl was cute. But then I found out that their actual vagina is normal. Because this girl was banging a huge bodybuilder.
How disturbing is that? That girl is 70%
vagina. Well, that's midget dicks.
She's 70% vagina.
Dude, women love midgets because it's like a baby fetish with a giant horse cock. It's like really... It's true, dude. They love these fucking... Brad Williams kills it on the road.
Oh, I bet.
And he's probably got a tripod. If his head is any indication of his dick, it's got to be huge. That guy is one-third head. Anybody with me on that? He's got a double deck. Okay, everyone got quiet. Was Brad Williams run comedy now?
That's like Mike Buscetti.
He's going to fucking knock us off the comedy ladder. What's going on here?
Would you have sex with a midget?
No, absolutely not.
I mean a dwarf or a little person, whatever they call it. Would you?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
He's Mexican. He'll stick his dick in orange.
Yeah.
How about you, Sam?
I would if she was hot. It's not my thing. You know why? Because I think about when I bang a chick, I'm not looking to have kids with them, I think, like, what would our kids look like? And if I bang a midget, I don't want no fucking 4'2" kids. I want to bang. That's why I'm attracted to Amazons. I would like a 6-foot yeah. chick.
That's what I'm all
so
about.
So I can have, like, 8-foot
oh, really?
Kids.
Yeah.
Well, how tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm a dwarf myself. I'm 5'7", so, you know.
5'8".
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you see, like, Klitschko, right? He was married to that actress, Haley, whatever her name is. Dude, that kid's going to be tiny. It's always the women who ruin
the genetics,
athletics
yeah.
of the
absolutely
100%.
That's why you got to get a tall model or a fucking former basketball player yeah. or you know track star.
How about Blake Griffin's wife or girlfriend that had her kid?
Yeah,
she had Matt Leinart's kid. He fizzles out. She's like, I gotta get another.
Really,
one.
She had Leinart's kid and then Blake Griffin's kid.
Yeah, and how crazy is it? You went from being Matt Leinart's baby's mama to Blake Griffin's baby, who also has Matt Leinart's kid.
Right.
Right? You just upgraded. Because Matt Leinart fizzled out for whatever reason in the NFL. A lot of people like say he couldn't play. I just think Danny
Green sucks to play for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, like, Kurt Warner, who's a legend, came in, and I don't think he really got his shot to play. I remember he had that great game against the Pittsburgh, the classic, they are who we thought we are, right. That game, where they had him, and Matt Leinart was going off, and that was the last time you really heard of Matt Leinart. After that, it was all downhill, but she was like a D1 basketball player.
Perfect.
And Blake Griffin, that kid is going to fucking light it up.
Yeah, for sure.
The greatest athlete will be... when Kevin Durant has a kid. Because his wife plays in the WNBA and has won a WNBA championship. So that kid's going to be about 8 foot and dunk from half court. That kid probably already has scholarships offers. Not even out of the womb. It's already got fucking a scholarship offer fucking to Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? So let's get into some sports. A lot of great sports over the weekend. I love it. This is a great time of year. I mean, I just feel like there's so many sports now. It's so much fun. And obviously the big game is the NFL. The NFL's coming up. The Super Bowl started out as a great matchup. And then all of a sudden, and I'm sorry if you're over talking, hearing about this. We took off last week because I was sick. So we're going to get into it now, and we'll see where it goes. Ballgazi, everybody's talking about. Ballgate, the deflated balls. Is it cheating? Is it not cheating?
Of course it's cheating.
And yes. Okay, we got Giants fans here.
I'm a huge Giants fan.
Yep, you're a Giants fan. I'm a Raiders fan, so we all hate the Patriots for different reasons.
I love the Patriots. I always
what was Mexican football team are you, Frank?
Oh, Mexican football team?
The Redskins.
Raiders.
You're Raiders, too?
Raiders, bro. It's always Raiders.
And you're a Niners fan. Okay, so we have all we all have reasons to hate the Patriots. Ballgate, and since it first came out, it's just unraveled. Everybody's checked in. Right now... I think this ballgate falls into two parties, Patriot fans and the rest of the world.
That seems
to be where you fall on this whole thing. Whether I don't know if anyone actually thinks it affected the game. I don't think it affected the game.
I do.
I don't. And okay, but okay. Why do you think it affected the game?
Because if you're throwing a ball that is way easier to handle, and this guy's throwing so many great passes that game. You don't think it had anything to do with it? Anything?
Well, so they won the first half 17-7.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of all those balls. They gave them fresh balls for the second half after it came up, and they won the second half 28-0.
Yeah.
So they actually played better. Now,
stop with these facts.
Yeah.
Well, we're all talking about Tom Brady
right.
and his grip on the ball. Let's talk about the running backs
absolutely,
and their grip on the ball and the fact that the last, I believe, 5 years, the Patriots have actually led the league in the least amount of fumbles. So does that affect it
yes,
as well?
Yes, yes. Yes, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
see,
more
that,
facts.
Yes, and how about the whole, oh, I stutter, Videogate. How about that whole thing?
Was that a real stutter?
That's real.
Wow!
Yeah, no, this is not a fucking act. I wish it was.
Dude,
I would have laid
like
so much more in ice.
Like a post dunk.
No,
just
it's,
hit it, dude.
I get locked up sometimes.
That's okay. Yeah. We got excited. Yeah. We will make fun of
it. No, you. I think the fumble thing is a big thing. Some statistician or whatever did a thing that actually showed – you know, the Patriots have had so many running backs that they got from somebody else, and then obviously they only use them for a couple of years. Guys have fumbled more before they got to the Patriots than after they left.
Wow.
Their fumble numbers went down, like,
dude,
significantly on the Patriots.
This is really wild.
Yeah.
And don't you remember the whole thing with Bill taping the Jets or the practices?
Well, that's the whole thing. I saw Bill Burr on Real Time, and Marr brought it up to him, and he's like, it's about nothing. It's stupid. I'm like, well, here's the whole thing, man. It's like, Spygate to me is beyond offensive.
Yes.
I mean, like, that's, I mean, we want to give people shit for steroids. At least you have to go out there and perform. To videotape people and then be able to pick out based on what formations they're in is what defense they're going to run is like, that's beyond cheap. That what Pete Rose did in baseball, I know it's another sport, isn't even close, in my opinion.
And how pathetic to tape the Jets.
Yeah, right.
We're used to taping everybody.
No, I know.
It was just the Jets that brought it up. And, dude, Mangini got fucking, like, basically fucking shunned from football for a while.
Well, now he's going to be defensive coordinator of the Niners.
Yeah, which should be interesting.
But never trust a guy with a hoodie. I mean, Bill Belichick has been cheating for how long?
Listen, I
don't trust this guy at all.
But I think the taping was a whole other level of cheating.
Yeah.
I think the deflating of footballs is in this medium.
Dude, that's just like corking your bat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pine tar, George Brett.
I think
Brett,
a lot of people are doing stuff like this.
Well, I think that, you know, listen, it's always, there has always been cheating. Greenies, you know, people doing speed out there, scuffing baseballs. There's always tar on your hands to catch the ball. It's always been cheating. But when you get busted doing Spygate, it's like Bill Cosby. You really don't have the right to ever buy a girl a drink ever again in your life.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, it's like if you walk into a bar and see Bill Cosby going, here you go, you know, he'd be like, you just want to swat it out of his hand. Go, what the fuck are you thinking? You can't do that. That's where the Patriots are. Whether everybody's doing it, you got busted worse than anybody. You can't fucking do it anymore. What really ruined me was watching fucking Tom Brady lie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even
Wait,
close.
I didn't see it. I'm sorry. What did Tom say? I didn't see this part.
Where have you been, John?
And I
fucking DirecTV chips.
I know, I mean, and I have free DirecTV.
I know.
Because I can't stand looking at this pretty fucking guy. Look at me.
Yeah. Well, that's why it just is so bad, because he's literally a guy who's had it all, and it just, fuck. I mean, dude,
I felt like
lying.
He was fucking with the media, even. Like, all the ball references, like, some people like old balls, some people like new balls. My balls are perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, what? He's fucking with you guys.
Yeah, but he is lying. You could tell because he was just, like, stuttering a lot.
Hey.
No offense. And he was just, he like, usually his press conference, he's just sparkling those pearly whites. And he wasn't. He was just like, I don't know. And he was just like, you know, they sat him down for about 2 hours and just grilled him. No, nothing. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't know anything.
Do you think Bill knew about it?
Oh, absolutely. They have to know.
Because hasn't Bill said that he didn't know anything about it? Bill Belichick?
Yeah, of course,
denying. Yeah.
How do you know he's lying? What's the old saying? Thou protest too much?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have two press conferences when you like to have zero press conferences for the first 15 years before you've never wanted to do a press conference.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're banging them out to a clip.
But
on,
why
man.
Do you think? Why do you think? I mean, the Patriots are a great team. They're favorite anyway. Why do you need to do it?
That's the whole thing. You don't need to do it.
But go on. Yeah, in that game, I was surprised. I thought they were going to roll against the Colts anyway. And you would think Bill Belichick, being a fucking genius, knew that they were going to roll. It's like, maybe let's not take
any chances. For the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you know what? I guess it's just every game they're doing this stuff. You know what I mean? That's just like part of the process. Like, okay, 12 o'clock, we'll do walkthrough. 12:30, we'll get the footballs. 12:35, we'll deflate them. 12:40, take a shit. Like, I think it's just 100%. Part of his day, you know?
Here's what I've learned, man. Being in Los Angeles for as long as I have, I've learned nothing just happens. Anything that happens on television and movies, there's probably, for every second on a television show and in a movie, 30 people have busted their ass to make that second happen.
I agree.
And it's like, whether it's Hollywood, California, Washington, D.C., or Wall Street in New York City, everything that happens is fucking manage and fucking somebody is cutting somebody's throat to make that fucking happen. When you're talking millions of dollars and into the billions of dollars, nothing just happens. Like when you see an actress win an Oscar and go, I can't believe this just happened. You're fucking full of shit. You fucking paid somebody $10,000 a month to bust their hump to get your name out in everything you possibly fucking can. And therefore, the notion, because we gotta remember, there was big talk. That is Tom Brady done 4 games into the season. Tom Brady, is he done? Should we trade him while we still can?
Yeah, I remember
you that. Don't think that's fucking killing that dude? That guy's fucking inside. So it's like the chances of him winning another Super Bowl, every game he plays gets farther and farther away to the possibilities of winning Super
Plus,
Bowl.
Plus, he got his ass kicked twice by the Giants.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is, I think, another reason why Bill wanted him. He wants to win this time.
So people think, why would they do it? Why would they do it? Because everything is at stake. Millions of dollars, their fucking legacy.
The franchise, bro.
What?
It's like the franchise, yeah.
Yeah, everything is at stake. That's why they would do it.
But don't you think every team cheats in this sense?
100%.
Like, on this level?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think on this
You're
level.
You're crazy, dude.
I know that, naive. But I don't think on this level.
Well, I think the video thing is one thing, but on the level of deflating footballs, I think a lot of teams are doing something on that. You know, my brother went to Giants at Seahawks this year up in Seattle. And there's a rule. You're not allowed to pump crowd noise into stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So what Seattle does is they have a DJ who's playing music, but he's playing live tracks that have crowd noise.
Oh,
that's like
that's
the equivalent of, you know, well, there's a loophole here.
Yeah.
We can't pump crowd noise in, but we can play a track that's got crowd noise. With Skrillex up in the third deck.
What are you saying, Sam? Just because everybody, so you're saying that everybody does it, but Bill Belichick was dumb enough to get caught, and that means that he should. In other words, so are you against him doing it, or you just think it's everyone's doing it? It doesn't matter.
I think there's gamesmanship. I think everybody does as whatever they can to get a fucking competitive edge. It's like in NASCAR. When they're like, yeah, man, he's running a good car. That is code for they got something fucking going with that car that they've tweaked it. And all they're hoping, dude, is that they don't get caught. That they've found a way to get past these guys whose job it is.
See, I'm an idiot. And all you guys can agree. Because I've always believed that if you're going to win something, what is the gratification if you did it by cheating?
Because
I mean, that's how I've always, I mean, any sport I've ever played.
This isn't back in Vince Lombardi days when everybody's, this thing's tape delayed and everybody's making 50 grand for the season. This is millions and millions and millions of dollars at stake. Legacies, you know, billion-dollar franchises. This is cutthroat as it gets, man. To me, it's just too much to sit back going, oh, whatever. You know, it's like you see it in comedy. Guys who steal jokes, you're like, you don't need to steal jokes. You know what? He wants to be the greatest of all time. He's doing whatever. Do I agree with it? No, I hate joke stealers. But I'm naive to think that, oh, that guy wouldn't steal jokes because he's a fucking good guy. It happens, dude. I don't agree with it. I think it's fucking wrong. It gets me angry. But it's like, it's cutthroat out there, dude. It is cutthroat. What about fucking, a great example is Ocean's 11, right? The movie?
Mm-hmm.
You know the Kings of Comedy? Who was on it? It was Bernie Mac. Who's the guy who hosts Family Feud?
Steve Harvey.
Those guys did that big thing that blew them all up. They toured together. Steve Harvey tried to get Bernie Mac kicked off Ocean's 11 by telling the producers all the shady shit about Bernie Mac. Really? Bernie Mac's
he could have his part?
I loved Bernie Mac. I love Bernie Mac. Yeah. Wow, is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's, dude, and maybe that's why I am where I am and who I am, but I just have zero desire to be like that. I just like to go up there and do my shit.
But then you say about this, it's okay because everybody's doing it. I don't mean there's something wrong here.
What do you mean?
You're saying it's okay that they
I'm
did
saying,
it because everybody
I'm not
does
saying
it.
It's okay. All I'm right not saying it's okay. I say it happened.
Just to understand, you understand where they're coming from.
I don't think you should have to cheat. I would like to believe it's a level playing field, but I'm not naive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do you really think Coach K at Duke doesn't do some fucking shady shit to get all those fucking players? You don't think fucking Calipari does some shady shit to get all those players? That those guys are such great coaches that fucking those guys would turn down $100,000 from the fucking Virginia to go play because they want to learn from the master?
All right, you can call me an asshole, but I don't think Coughlin's cheating.
I don't think you're an asshole.
No, but I don't think Coughlin's cheating, do you?
I think everybody...
Do you think Coughlin's cheating? He looks like an old school football guy from the Landry School of Football guy.
I feel like when the pressure's on and stuff
really?
Like that.
Really?
I think it's like,
cheat.
Let's get
have you seen their record last year?
Yeah.
Well, that's because... You know, and it goes down to this whole debate between Eli Manning and Peyton Manning. And I've
there's no debate anymore.
Yeah, oh, yes, there is. Yeah. Yes, there is.
No, the debate is...
I think Peyton still has a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Eli, two rings.
Dude,
Peyton won.
That's it.
End of story.
We've discussed this, and I've always said it, and I always get my ass handed to me by Ari and Tebow. It's not even close. It is close. I would actually tell you that... Peyton Manning has been giving way more tools than fucking
Eli
with the exception of Odell Beckham,
who
really
just,
over
just
the
started
last 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who they haven't busted their hump to get Eli surrounded with weapons.
No. Well, wait. I mean, Chris Knee, David Deal, Sean O'Hara, all those guys, they had the best offensive line for some time.
But they had drafted all those guys and all those guys. Yeah. You know, that was homegrown. It's not like they're going out and signing guys.
Like, if I was drafting for the Giants, all I would draft was an offensive line because nobody's protecting Eli right now.
That's what you should do. That's what you should do. I get so angry when you see a team like Pittsburgh. It's like, dude, how long has your line sucked? Like, your line has sucked for the entire Obama administration. The entire Obama administration, you've had nobody guarding fucking Big Ben. And he takes a beat, and you're like, oh, man, he's always hurt. What's going on?
They figured he can handle it, motorcycle. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
That is true. He's evil, Knievel.
But it's amazing. Like, the Giants this year, when they didn't draft an offensive lineman, I was freaking out.
Unbelievable.
And then, you know, Beckham turns into, you know, this
dude, is that the greatest catch you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for
cutting off. The problem is, it is a phenomenal catch. But they didn't win the game. I think it just takes
a little bit off it. I agree.
To me, the greatest catch is the Super Bowl catch by Tyree, right?
That was great.
I had that picture signed.
It's a
and he disappeared the next season.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Well, he wasn't even really a receiver that season. He was a special teamer. He just happened to be in there fourth and
but
whatever.
That's another thing. I just agree. I'm sorry for touching you, but just to talk.
I just some people get weird by it. I'm like, I have a friend. I have a time. I'm like, hey, dude.
But getting back to what you're saying, because it's true, because they have David Tyree makes that catch. He's gone. They have Mario Manningham. He makes that catch, and then he's gone. The very next season, Ahmad Bradshaw, he's gone. They keep on getting rid of these freaking guys.
You know,
it's a business. It's a business. You got to do. You know.
I would tell you that Eli Manning. I mean, fucking Peyton Manning has gotten more weapons than Tom Brady. That Bill Belichick's ego is so fucking big. They refuse to give him any. And look what happened when he got Randy Moss. They went fucking off and won 17 straight.
Yeah.
But he still refuses to go after any real talent.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I would tell you that Tom Brady probably could have won one or two more Super Bowls if the people around him had the same mentality that the people around Peyton Manning have, which is fucking give them weapons.
Well, I mean, look at what's happened to them, though. They lost Welker. They replaced him with Amendola. They gave him a lot of money. He was good on the Rams.
Yeah, why didn't they just give that to Walker?
Well, I mean, you know, they thought they were upgrading in the same player but younger, and then Amendola's been hurt. They had Aaron Hernandez. He's in fucking, you know, an orange jumpsuit somewhere. It's like they gave him guys, just not all of them work out, you know?
Yeah.
When Pittsburgh cut Blunt, they immediately grabbed him. I mean, that was a great move.
And it's just like they just didn't want to pay him the first. It's just, It's just like, man.
No, I agree with you. And look at all the injuries that Eli's had, too, which is none of his fault. But, I mean, this year, forget about it. I mean,
around him, yeah. Because Eli, everyone, for the most part,
Cruz, David Wilson.
Yeah, Eli doesn't miss a snap. He's never been hurt.
No, but he has thrown some really shitty balls as well, though. He does have moments of real inadequacy.
Yeah, but everybody has.
Brett Favre is the most interceptions ever. You know, it's part of throwing a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
They should just give him one more shot at a Super Bowl and just load up on fucking weapons.
Hell yeah.
Go all in on Megatron. How much can you give that? Well, you got Beckham.
You got Beckham. You got Cruz coming back.
Well, Cruz and Beckham and the rise of... I'm stuttering a lot. I don't give a fuck. You can make fun of me about it. What the fuck's it? And I blanked on the fucking guys. Reuben Randall.
Right.
That was great. Can we get that on fucking... That's great. That was the greatest.
For all those motherfuckers who said it was all an act, go fuck yourselves, okay?
It was great. It was almost like a bird regurgitating for a baby. Did you see that? Eat, baby. That was the best thing I've ever
seen. It was like Reuben Randall was actually caught in his throat. And I caught Reuben Randall.
I just coughed up a Randall.
It drives the point home.
I was on the Tonight Show, Sam, and Jared Washburn, you know, the pitcher, was throwing suntan lotion water balloons at my back.
Yeah.
So here I am. The smart John is going to go. Jay's going to go, all right, John, you ready for this? And I'm going to go, hey, don't worry, Jay. He's no Mariano Rivera. Why I chose the two hardest fucking concerts for me to take is beyond me. So there we go, you know, the tape. And then they went, all right, John, you think you can handle this? Hey, don't worry, Jay. He's no Randy Johnson. You see it on tape. Because there's no fucking way I can say that.
That is, I know. I'm sorry I'm laughing at it, but fucking gold. You're funny, dude. I love it. So let's get into some Super Bowl predictions. I mean,
well, now, wait. Let me ask you a question now about the Super Bowl.
It's cool to be on your show. Let me book me anytime.
No, no, no. No, just to button up on the Deflategate, whatever it is.
Deflategate?
Yeah.
The names.
Deflategate.
Yeah, are they going to have now, you think they're going to have like a ball checker now?
Oh, yeah. They're not going to be able to handle their balls. They're not going to be able to fucking handle their balls. There's no ball touching over there in that. I personally think it's going to be almost impossible for New England to win this game. I just think that they're going to have beyond the greatest game, flawless. They can't expect, there's no way they're going to get a call. The worst thing that happened, in my opinion, for the NFL is for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Now, you think, what would you give them, what would the chances you give them had the whole ball thing not happened?
I thought it would be really close, a lot closer than people think. It's hard to root against Tom Brady. I thought it was going to be really close. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. I'm just saying I find that the odds on them being able to win is fucking gone down fucking dramatically, because Tom always can get a fucking call from a ref. I don't think he's going to be able to do that. I think they're going to be like, you don't give him any fucking close calls. You give him nothing. The only way Balghazi goes away is if the fucking Seahawks win this Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If the fucking Patriots win it,
you're right.
It's just never going to go away.
Everyone's going to second guess it the whole way.
Yep.
Well, it's just like the whole fucking... Sammy Sosa, all that shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's no way. I mean,
yeah, it's never going to happen.
Mark
I mean,
McGuire.
What do you think?
I mean, I think the Patriots are a way better team. I think that I would have – I couldn't believe that they weren't favored coming out of the championship round. But, you know, I think the ball gate, whatever the fuck we're calling it, is a factor. But I don't think that the NFL is – controlling it to that point, because the better story doesn't always win, right? Like, why wouldn't Peyton Manning and the Broncos have come out and beaten the Seahawks last year? You know, I mean, obviously they got rolled on.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, but I always feel that the NFL, maybe it's just for me, the Super Bowl's always been a little different. It's almost like the old saying in pro wrestling, like, all the matches are fake up until the title match, and then that match is a real fight. Mm-hmm. And right. Those guys... You know, you really battle for who gets the belt. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that was a saying I heard.
I mean, do you think the lights going off in the Ravens-Niners Super Bowl had something to do with it being a blowout, or are you just like, New Orleans can't pay their fucking
I think New Orleans is like, fuck you, Goodell, and then somebody fucking blew that thing. I really do believe that. That town's full of crazy people, and they are so pissed at the fucking crippling penalties that their team got that they were like, yeah, bitches, you know? But I just feel like I don't think it's above the NFL to go, hey, man, we don't want them getting any of the fucking calls, man.
Let me ask you a question, Sam. You just say this shit goes on all the time, right?
Yeah.
How about that fucking coach of the Colts, that really Catholic dude? What the hell is that dude?
Chuck Pagano?
No. Who's the dude? You know, the African-American.
Tony Dungy.
You think he would ever be involved in anything that would be cheating?
Oh, you telling me that a religious man might be fucking full of shit?
I knew it.
I think Tony Dungy is I mean, I've listened to him talk. He seems to be a pretty straight and narrow guy. But, dude, money talks, man. And, like, am I saying that if you got there, you cheated your way to top? No, but I think there is gamesmanship. And, like, let's be honest. The guy who fucking changed the whole ball thing was Peyton Manning. He lobbied the NFL to let the fucking quarterbacks fucking manage the balls before the game. They never got to do that before.
Hmm.
Because of Peyton Manning, they changed the rule.
Another reason why Eli is number one over
Peyton. Yeah. Well, I think Peyton Manning, it's going to be weird. Because, like, Dan Marino, people want to put him in as the greatest, but then they're like, he didn't have a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
But Peyton's got the ring, and he's going to play another season and most likely have every major, major passing record out there.
It'll be the Derek Jeter tour.
But there's at this point, you can't argue that he hasn't had a disappointing put. I mean, he's been one and done 10 times now.
Yeah. Well,
that's a choker.
And at that position, you could always blame a lot of people. You know, it's a team loses. At a quarterback position, when you have that bad.
If you go through his games, though, that he lost in the playoffs, it's more than just, the team lost. He played so significantly worse than he would play throughout the season. You know, 110 quarterback rating for the year, 400 yards passing, and then he's thrown. You know, they lost 41-0 to Chad Pennington and the Jets.
Unbelievable.
He threw for like 110 yards and 4 picks or whatever. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Let me ask you guys a question. Who would you want going against Tom Brady this Sunday? Eli Manning or Peyton Manning?
Why is that? That's not even a question.
Yeah.
It's been answered twice. Dude, it's so funny. If you could combine the brothers, you'd have the greatest regular season quarterback and the greatest fucking playoff quarterback.
But Sam, I've argued with so many people about this who say, no, you're out of your mind, Peyton is the guy.
I think up to this season, we had this argument at the beginning of last season. And I said, after that Super Bowl, both of us were right, that he is a great quarterback, but I do think Eli's better. And then this season, I think it just added on. I know Eli had a horrible, horrible season. I just feel like he doesn't have any weapons around him with the exception of Odell Beckham, who kind of came on towards the end.
Yeah. And he had a pretty good year this year. Last year he had a horrible year. But
no, I only asked it because I fought with my brother and so many people about the Eli Peyton thing. Everyone argued about this.
I don't think it's an issue.
But the thing is, in the NFL, it's different than any other sport. In baseball, you have to win a certain amount of games just to get people there. In basketball, you have to win a certain amount of games just to get people there. In the NFL, all the games are sold out. Unless you're a fucking Jaguars fan.
Yeah.
All the games are sold out, so it's not putting a good enough team out there to compete. It's Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
And if you're picking one quarterback between those two, that gives you a better shot to win the Super Bowl. Not to win 12 games and go out in the first round, but we might miss the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, but every fourth, fifth year, we're going to win the Super Bowl with this guy. You got to take that guy.
Yeah, 100%.
If you look at them, no name, no face, just here's the stats. One guy is going to be the best statistical quarterback you've ever seen if you draft him, and you're going to get one Super Bowl. The other guy is going to be a average quarterback statistically, and you're going to get at least 2 Super Bowls. Who do you draft? If you're a GM and you take the guy who's going to get you 1 Super Bowl, that's fucking malpractice. You just gave away a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
That's just the bottom line.
I totally agree with that. Real quick on Odell Beckham. did you see this girl on Tinder? It was on Deadspin. Do you see that?
Yeah,
her profile and her bio was, is her hugging Odell, this gorgeous blonde, hugging Odell Beckham, and her whole Tinder profile was, I fucked Odell Beckham.
Oh, shit. Yeah, she said, I fucked Odell Beckham, get on my level, cunts.
Yeah.
Which I changed my profile to say the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I photoshopped myself kissing Odell Beckham.
That's great.
And by the way, I'm not gay or anything, not like there's anything wrong with it, but Odell doesn't wear a
cup. You're little.
Odell doesn't wear a cup, and he's packing that guy. Because I've seen
what
him.
Do you mean
on
he doesn't wear a cup.
He doesn't wear a cup. I mean, you see what?
How do you know this? Like, what make website him big do you go
no
to?
One
you find out.
No one in the NFL wears a cup.
During a game, you see that.
Was he flapping?
Yeah. He's got his whole junk just lying there.
What was his name? Camardi, the one with 80 kids.
Yeah.
When he got drafted by San Diego. All they could, because I was in San Diego, doing, all they could talk about was how big his package was when he's running his fucking 40.
Yeah, because they put him in the spandex.
We're just monkeys, dude. We're really just fucking monkeys, and all we care about are how fat our tits are and how big his dick is. That's it. And, like, the guy's running and it's just flapping as he's fucking, which probably put a couple fucking milliseconds on his fucking 40.
Well, it just pisses me off, Sam. It's like Derek Jeter, right? Derek Jeter's got everything, right? One of the best athletes ever. I know a friend who had sex with him. Hung like a freaking horse.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't God give him something?
You know a friend who has
bad?
Herpes now. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. I mean, dude.
There's a herpes tree.
It's just life's out there, dude. It's just, yeah, he does.
I didn't know that. How do you know that?
Because it's ever, John, you don't know, it's just like you didn't know there was Ballgate going on. I mean, it's crazy.
I knew there was Deflategate. I even tweeted to you. I tweeted that to you.
John, Ballgate. I like you. So real quick, we're going to do a real thing called, and then we're going to take a small break, and then we'll finish up the next hour. We're going to do a little thing called dates that were supposed to be out of the gates. We're supposed to talk about that at the beginning, but I want to get everybody's dates. Frank, you got anything going on?
Oh, just the Comedy Store Tuesdays roast battle.
Yeah, I know you got your first loss, but even Muhammad Ali has a great loss.
Yeah.
Okay, and then when we get back, I want to talk roast battle, and I want you to be 100% honest with your assessment of how it went.
All right.
And whether you are ass back
was there,
riding
by the way,
and everything.
I saw you.
Wait, Joe, what do you got going on? Last week?
For anybody who's listening live, I'm at the Westside Comedy Theater tonight.
I love that room.
Yeah, they're doing Westside Showdown. I guess it's some sort of, you know, contest or whatever.
I hate those.
Yeah, I hate it too.
But I love that
I'm already over it, but I'm there tonight. So if you're listening, come out and support that. And then I've been traveling a lot, opening for Lachlan Patterson.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
Oh, it's great.
He can't fuck all them.
No. Yeah. In fact, he doesn't fuck any of them.
He's got a girlfriend.
Yeah, he's got a girlfriend and he's Canadian. So
he's super.
What's
nice.
It called? The 6'5" tour?
Yeah, 6'5" and one of us is handsome tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we're going to be in Appleton, Wisconsin at the end of the month. And, you know, just go on my website, joeprano.com. I got all my dates there.
Prano, I love you. You're funny. John, I know you kind of talked about earlier, but what any certain dates you want to push right now?
Just with me, Jackie, and Bobby Slayton this weekend at the South Point, and then I'll be at the Fantasy Springs the next weekend and Palm Springs.
That's
Improv.
Awesome, man.
The Improv, yeah.
That's awesome, dude. I am very excited. I'm going to play the House of Comedy in Bloomington, Minnesota, Minneapolis this week. All week, come out, hang out. I love the shows. If you can come out Wednesday and Thursday, I appreciate it because it's always cold and those shows always seem to be the slowest. But come out, hang out. I got a bunch of new material. I'm very excited about it. So come and hang out. February 8th, if you're in Hollywood, I'm starting a brand new show every Sunday night. I'm going to do the first one on the 8th, see how it goes. It's called Loaded. It's at the Loaded Rock Club on Hollywood Boulevard. Just come out. It goes from 9 to whenever the fuck everybody goes home. It's going to be a great comedy night where comics can come, drink, hang out, talk shit. And then Valentine's Day, we're doing a very special naughty show in Long Beach at Harvell's. Two shows, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Tons of burlesque dancers, tons of comedy, giving away sex toys. It's going to be a great show. So if you're a single lady, you're probably not listening to this. But if you're a couple, you want to have fun, come down and rock. We're going to take a real small break. And then, again, Thursday nights, Ari Shaffir's This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central. Check it out, 12:30. It was fucking great. I love the show. I'm really happy for Ari. He's doing great. He's supposed to call in, but apparently he's skiing right now. So we'll do it. We're going to take a small break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll see you guys in a few. Bye.
Derek Cheetah has herpes? I never heard that before.
Oh, Jesus, dude. It's everywhere.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can you imagine how much weight?
Great job. Guys, we are back. Yeah, we're back.
Yeah.
Second hour of Punch Drunk. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got some NBA and NFL. But I want to get into 2 weeks ago I did the roast battle at the awesome L.A. Riot Festival Alternative Comedy, which was awesome, even though everybody on it was on television, which is weird.
Very alternative. Yeah.
Very alternative. We're so alternative. We're successful. I did the roast battle. I went up against my good friend Tony Hinchcliffe, who I love very much. Good friend of mine for a very long time. What happened was Jesus Trejo had dropped out. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all Moses and Jeff have been begging me to do this show. And I just want to go up against a friend. I'd probably pick the guy who was a little better than I had expected. So I go up there. That whole week, I'm sick as a dog. I go up there. Frank, you were there. I want you to be 100% honest. How'd you think it went?
Ah, man. I've seen the battles for, like, every week. And it's like, I think the first time you went up, it's fucking the worst. It's tough, dude. I mean, you did the best you could. I mean, you had your jokes. You had good jokes. And that's the thing is, like, it's the hardest thing to perform under that pressure because it's not only.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was not nervous at all. I was so locked and loaded. I just had no energy. Yeah, I had zero energy. But I just want to go, like, the reaction of the crowd. Who was the guy, the Mexican, who went last?
It was George Perez.
And he's a badass dude, right?
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing.
He said he got murdered in the first round.
He did. He got destroyed in the first round because some of the jokes didn't hit. And it's also like a lot of performance having to do with it. And it's like if those jokes doesn't hit, it sucks because it's all about momentum, dude.
It's hipsters, dude. You can tell me no. I mean, we're having
that room was a lot of hipsters. But
it was all hipsters.
Yeah, there was all of them.
There was PBR flowing that night.
So, like, a lot of, like, gay jokes didn't hit. Like, a lot of certain jokes, like, certain types of jokes just didn't hit.
Yeah.
And it was just like.
But when gay guys did jokes, no matter what they said, the room went fucking nuts. So you agree with me. All right, that's fine.
Hipsters meaning, like, too cool for the crowd kind of thing?
You know, what is a hipster, guys?
I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Well, you know, I lived in the epicenter of hipsterdom in Williamsburg, Brooklyn for 9 years. I feel like I have a good grasp.
Let's hear it.
They're, you know, liberal arts educated, pacifist weaklings, didn't play a fucking varsity sport in high school, and if they did, it was like tennis or fencing or something like that. They love music that no one likes until it becomes the cool music, and then they fucking abandon it, and they like, you know, shows that no one watches until people start watching it, and then they bail. It's like fucking, you know, it's the mustache with the wax in it and the you know, hard parts, you know, haircuts, the skinny jeans, the fix your bicycles.
They just, it's so funny because they act like they don't care, but you know they care so much.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is like they're betas.
It's a defense mechanism.
Betas their whole life.
Yeah.
But they want to be alphas so badly. And they act like they don't want to be alphas. They want to be, that's why they create this environment in which everybody else who's a beta can come and thrive.
That's how old I'm getting. But I thought he was talking about the tape.
Right? So it's just like, it's just really weird. And it's just like, it's so weird.
And even in those like little groups, those people are still like shitty to the other people that aren't as not cool as they are. You know, it's fucking really fucking weird.
You know, my ex-wife is like dating one of these dudes because everything you described is one of these fucking dudes. Yeah.
And now I hate it even more. And they've ganged up as a group now to take out, this is their revenge. It's the revenge of the nerds.
They don't even like the regular nerds.
Because they're not even the cool nerds.
They're not the Comic-Con nerds.
Yeah, because that's the Star Wars thing is cool.
They're the guys trying to be the rock star, like of the nerd. They're like, and it's so weird because they've like you see comics do this all the time. They don't do well in the mainstream clubs. So what they'll do is they'll go and they'll create their own room in which they invite the people who do what they like, and the audience who likes that comes. And then you take them out of that, and you put them back, and they just fucking bomb. I mean, I won't say names, but...
Please do.
For a long time, there was a booker, a guy who... He wasn't a booker. He was kind of like the social media guy at the Comedy Store. And there was this thought that he was going to replace Tommy.
Yeah.
And all he wanted to do, he was in Time He's Here, about pulling these comics from UCB to come do the Comedy Store. And for a while, for a very short time, Tom was like, okay, we do it. You would watch these guys go up and just get their hats handed to them. Their trucker hats would be fucking shoved up their ass,
fucking snap
set
backs
out the fucking way. Because it's just, because you've created an environment in which you, people of you, just congregate together.
Yeah, you can't fail in a room.
And you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
I was disappointed, man. I was disappointed because I was really happy with some of the jokes, man. I thought they were really good.
Did you test any of them out before you went up?
I mean, go on stage?
Mm-hmm.
No, I just ran it with all my comics who I think are great, and they're like, that's good, that's good, that's good. The joke that everybody thought would kill, Dave Taylor gave approval. It was written by a couple other guys, Ryan and what's his face, who write for Ari and them, who, anyways, they wrote for, it was a great fucking joke, and they just fucking stared at me, and
that was the inch joke that you were saying
No,
before?
This one was, because Tony always brags that his dad was in the mafia. And I'm
right.
Like, the only thing Tony's dad was whacking was his 10-year-old dick, right? Right? Thank you! Fucking. He does one joke about me being a fat cokehead and how I do coke off my tits. Place explodes like fucking Richard Pryor talking to black people. And it was just like a crazy ass shit. And he won fair and square. I'm not taking anything away, but I'm just discussing what I think went wrong. Mm-hmm. One fair and square. I love Tony, so I just wanted to get your feeling on it.
I think if you had done one more right before that LA, it would have been easier. Because that first one is the fucking hardest, because it's like you still have to kind of feel how it is just to do the roast. And then it's also like you're going against like an audience that's just fucking rowdy. Then you have like three judges that are either going to tell you you did great, or they're just going to make you even look like you're more of an asshole.
Yeah.
And then you got everyone jumping up and doing a wave. And then you still have to wait for this guy
to
fucking insult
you. I hate the wave, dude. I think it just ruins the momentum of the show. And it's just like, plus, I knew I was in trouble when he came down with flowers fucking coming down the stairs. I'm like, hold on, we could do WWF fucking entrances?
Yeah,
nobody,
man,
fucking told me that.
Bro.
All right. Well, that was my discussion. I want to get into my favorite sport, the NBA. I'm a huge NBA fan. I fucking love where we are in the NBA. I think we're about to enter. The next three couple draft classes is going to make the NBA so fucking competitive. It's insane. Everybody loves the draft class that just came in. I'm going nuts about this draft class that's about to come in. Really excited about it. I'm a Clipper fan. We're finally hitting our stride. I know a lot of people, including myself, didn't like the Austin Rivers signing. But I've been watching him, man, and he's not that bad. He's not as bad as you would think. Like, oh, my God, this guy's just putting his kid in. He replaced Jordan Farmar, and I think he's
Jordan
way
Farmar
better.
Was garbage. So
just came in.
Anything's an upgrade.
Because the one thing that Austin Rivers can do is guard. He's a great defensive guard. He's a big guy. He's only going to give you 5 or 6 points a game. But what he doesn't do, he doesn't let our fucking lead go away. And actually, the last couple games, our fucking bench, for the first time ever, has actually caught up and surpassed the deficit that we were in. So it's really cool. What's your team?
I'm a Knicks fan, unfortunately.
Yeah, same with me. Yeah.
You guys are Knicks fans. Listen, man. Phil Jackson is doing you guys a favor. This is a blessing.
No, I disagree.
You have to
shit
the bed.
No, no, no. Oh, yeah, I want to shit the bed, but
you have to.
I'll tell you what I don't like.
Okafor would be huge for you guys.
Get rid of Melo. Get something for Melo while you can. Melo is trash. He's never been a winner. This goes back to the Peyton and then Eli thing. It's like you're talking about a guy who everybody says is the toughest guard in the NBA. Oh, he's the best pure scorer. Teammates always hate him. His team's always underachieve. You have the opportunity right now to potentially get a number one pick and get value for Carmelo Anthony. Get rid of him.
I think
Phil Jackson is not sacking up here and doing what needs to be done, which is get rid of Carmelo.
Who can take that contract?
I mean, there's plenty of teams that
Charlotte.
Charlotte for Lance Stephenson and Kemba Walker. Michael Jordan gets a fucking Jordan guy. They get a guy to build around down there. They get whatever. We get young players to grow with.
Yeah.
And then you get an Okafor, or like you said, this draft class is insane. You're going to get a top three pick no matter what happens. Start building from the bottom up.
He has to go somewhere where the leader is entrenched And they can't, and he has to come in and understand that where his place is, which for me is either number two or number three guy.
Yeah.
He can't be your number one.
I mean, people are up Cleveland's ass saying that the Kevin Love signing was a bust. Great. I'll take Kevin Love looking like trash over Carmelo right now.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that signing. And I said at the beginning that they were going to stumble because now you have three alphas who have to learn to work together. And the truth is, only one of them's won, and the other two need to fucking step inside. Here's the thing with Minnesota. Everybody's like, oh, they traded Wiggins. He's so good. You know they went on a 15-game losing streak.
Right.
That they have the worst record in the NBA. He's not doing anything because it's what I call Elton Brand numbers, where you put up fantasy fucking basketball numbers when nobody's coming to show up to play you. Everybody's taking a night off. Everyone's like, the fucking NBA is such a grind that you have to take a day fucking off sometimes and still play. And that day is when the Minnesota Timberwolves come into town.
Right.
You're not going to try hard. You just want to squeak out a win, whether it's a 2-point win or a 5-point win or a 30-point win. It's like, let's just get a W and not hurt ourselves. And that's why Wiggins is going crazy. I watched Wiggins in the fucking summer league. I've never seen a grown-ass man sit in the fucking corner while his offense is running and just sit like this the whole time. With his fucking arms back here, just watching the game like he just bought courtside seats. I think he's a great player. I don't think he's a number one. I don't think he's going to be a number one. He doesn't have the killer instinct.
And the thing is, when LeBron's got some time off, he's healthy. If they go to the Eastern Conference Finals and suddenly all Kevin Love provides for them is a Robert Horry-like couple of threes, then it was all worth it.
Dude, your third guy on your team is going 19-10.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think they're going to be
fine. Mozgov has been a huge pickup for them.
If the Mozgov trade that sent him to Denver for Carmelo, if that had been straight up Mozgov for Melo, forget the draft picks, forget all that. It's right now. It still looks like Denver wins that deal.
Well, what about Orlando comes out of the whole L.A. Houston thing where they get that Vucevic kid who's like one of the best NBA centers, whether he's more of a fancy basketball center right now. He's giving a lot of numbers, but they're not winning a lot. But I think that Phil Jackson's doing a great job. I think that, and I think the Lakers are like, fuck it. If they're going to fucking tank, let's fuck it. It's not baseball. You can't buy everybody. It's chemistry, dude. And you got to draft within, and you got to draft guys who work well together. And you have a hard cap, and the hard cap is why the NBA is so great, is because all the talent's going to go all over the place, just like the NFL. You got to have a hard cap. And I think, and when your team's not good, it's either you got a chance to win a championship or you fucking tank it. That's my opinion.
I agree with that.
Phil Jackson's doing right.
I think baseball should have the hard cap as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's mm-hmm.
Baseball is going to become irrelevant.
What?
Baseball will come irrelevant unless they get a hard cap.
I agree. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, but I think it's so unfair to have like the Pirates and all these small market teams.
Can't the Royals compete every fucking 20 years?
Yeah.
The reason football is so big and basketball is so big is because small cities can get involved.
Exactly.
A whole state can get involved because their one little fucking team can compete against New York and L.A.
I'm 100% in agreement. And I'm a Yankee fan, but I just think it's sad that the Yankees are spending $200 million and so are the Red Sox or whatever. And then
why do you think Steinbrenner isn't in the Hall of Fame yet? Because everybody convinced he ruined baseball. When he just goes, hold on, I can buy everybody. Why am I not buying everybody?
But, now, hold on. But hold on, Sam. With that being said, this dynasty that were the Yankees mostly were a lot of farmhands. I mean,
I'm with you on that.
Right,
but you
got to look at it from the other perspective, too. A team like the Royals or a team like the Expos back in the day who had Larry Walker and Pedro and Vladimir Guerrero. It's like, but it's tough to keep your farmhands when the Yankees
problem.
Are out there taking them to be their eighth guy or ninth guy. No, like, we got Jeter and Mariano and Posada and Bernie Williams, but we're also taking Aaron Boone and we're taking Scott Brosius from the A's taking...
Dude, yeah, but I endured the Steve Balboni era.
Oh, sure, sure.
That's what it changed, though. It changed once Mattingly left and then they just started fucking going on a run and he realized that he's making way more money when the Yankees are competitive. Then he just started buying everybody, and that's when baseball went to shit. And I know that, the Pirates are good this year. They were good this year, and then you know
and
the Royals were good.
I was rooting for the Royals like crazy
all the time. What was that? Oh, and the Cardinals. That's a great organization too.
Yeah, but the Cardinals spend money like crazy. No, get out of here.
$110 million.
Wait, look that. Come on.
Now I'm a Dodgers fan, but I'll jump off if they start buying everybody.
Oh, well, they already started.
Who?
Last year they did.
Who they? No, dude. That,
I mean, they took the huge Crawford contract.
Yeah,
they took
the, awesome when yeah. they were shitting the
sure,
bet.
Sure, sure, sure.
It
but
wasn't
still
necessarily
took the,
like
they
let's
still
go
took the,
fucking steal David Price for fucking
yeah.
nothing.
Well, wait. What was their salary last year?
Yes, yes, yes. That was great.
What was the? I mean, didn't the Dodgers spend like $200 million?
Yeah, the Dodgers had the highest.
Yeah, they had the highest. Baseball. What are you talking about?
Like I said, if it gets like that, I'm gonna jump off. I'm just not into that. I want smart. Moves, man. I want fucking our farm system, and I want it. What's that?
Giants
are amazing. Dude.
Yeah, that's
whatever's
unbelievable.
Going on in San Francisco sports right now. It is the golden era. What baseball just, what Boston just had with like 9 fucking parades yeah. in 10 years is what San Francisco's going through, and it fucking murders me because I love the city of San Francisco.
Yeah.
I love the people of San Francisco.
Yes.
Their sports team, I want to set everybody on fucking fire, man. I hate the Giants.
I do too.
I love like I have this weird thing like Bumgarner and fucking Steph Curry are like what Michael Jordan was to me in the fucking like 80s and 90s when I was a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they got rid of fucking
Patrick Ewing
how they did it. I was like, fuck you. I'm out of here. But man, I used to fucking love Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
It was like, this guy's the greatest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah.
And he's fucking murdering us, man.
Well, you know what? The Knicks never got that second guy. I mean,
exactly.
John Starks was not
that guy. The Knicks never
Starks
got that,
was not that
first
guy.
Dude, Patrick Ewing, he's my favorite player of all time. He was not a number one, dude.
I disagree.
He was not a number one.
I mean, think about it this way. With Jordan and Pippen and the role players, Grant, you know, all the guys that were involved in there, and Phil Jackson, Patrick Ewing was single-handedly carrying Derek Harper and Charles Smith to 7 games in the Eastern Conference
Final. It was a classic thing over and over again. And, I'm the Patrick Ewing guy. Name one other dude that can say that in the world. Live, die, breathe. Love Patrick Ewing. He is my introduction to basketball. I grew up in Syracuse area, and I wasn't a Cuse fan. I was a Georgetown Hoya Paranoia fan. That guy needed a closer like a fucking Dominique Wilkins, a guy you can give the ball to at the end of the game who can
It's a different kind of player that you can't be a 5 and just say, oh, I want the ball. I'm going to bring the ball up and I'm going to go to the basket, whatever. But if you look at like Tim Duncan has obviously always been the Spurs 1.
Yeah.
And they've had, you know, Kawhi Leonard's winning MVPs, you know, Tony Parker.
Robinson they had.
Ginobili, yeah. But he's the guy. It's all built around him. I think Patrick Ewing was more than enough of a player to be the guy you built around. They just never built anything around him.
If they had Pippen, they would have won a championship. I mean, come on. You don't think so? Ewing and Pippen.
I love those Larry Johnson teams. I love those teams. When they got Larry Johnson, I remember watching SportsCenter going, oh, fuck, it's on. You know, grandmama, that guy was granted his back was a little, but dude, he moved the scoring forward and he was a fucking murderer. Oakley was a murderer. They just didn't have anybody that when the fucking game was on the line.
They didn't have a pure scorer. They never had a scorer.
They never had a pure scorer.
Right,
that's
absolutely.
What I'm saying.
And they needed one and they never gave him one. And Starks appeared, but what your Clippers are doing right is what the Knicks did wrong. They had a guy. That's what Jamal Crawford is for the Clippers, is we could bring this guy off the bench, and if he goes crazy, he could get us 25, and he could be the thing that wins us the game. But if you take that guy and you throw him into your starting lineup, then what do you have?
Right?
You don't have that guy off the bench, and you know if he has an off night, your shooting guard's not
good. I just love that we're in L.A. and now everyone's talking Clippers because that hasn't happened in 10 years. Suddenly all these Clipper fans are out coming out of the woodwork.
Well, the truth of the matter is like the new – new fucking salary cap. The Lakers can't just go buy everybody. And the advent of cable makes it so people can give a shit about Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
That's just people. Dude, the guys who make the most money endorsement aren't Kobe makes a lot, but it's LeBron James in Cleveland. Fuck, you know, Kevin Durant in a Thunder. I mean, one of the biggest finals ever since Michael Jordan versus Magic Johnson. That's like considered like the apex of finals in terms of ratings. The next highest one since then, LeBron James in Miami versus Kevin Durant in Oklahoma, which is like the number like 10 market and the number 180th market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the NBA's been a really great. And now it's moving to teams. That's why Atlanta's murdering everybody. That's why you got fucking, you got Portland doing well. You got the Golden State. I mean, like.
Klay Thompson tearing it up.
Yeah,
Klay Thompson's amazing. I predicted they would do this next year, but apparently Mark Jackson was holding them back.
Mark Jackson, I mean, when you watched that guy coach, it was a joke. You knew that they were ready, and he wasn't giving them anything. He was basically, you know, a cheerleader.
Yeah.
In the huddle.
Well, he's more of a pastor who probably gave
but
great
sermons.
But they're
down 2 points, you know, with 10 seconds left to go to the game, and they give you the camera shot inside the huddle. He's like, believe in the Lord is with you, and believe that you will be carried to greatness. Yeah. If you have faith and you believe in what is written in the book. And it's like, how about drawing us up a play?
We're totally down two.
And Steve Kerr's a good coach. They're,
Steve Kerr.
They're
and
legit.
Alvin Gentry is a good coach. I mean, when he left the Clippers, it really hurt us for the first, like, you know, a third of the season. And it's like, now we're finally clicking. We have the number two offense. Now we have to get our fucking defensive up. And now, that's why I have a little problem with J.J. Redick, man. He is a defensive liability. He's going to run around and tire out the guy, but he's not going to shut anybody down. And like,
has he started too for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he's a starter. I think he's a come-off-the-bench guy.
Yeah, he's... The reason is because you guys have Crawford, and Crawford can carry a second team. So they're basically going, let's just be weak at the two in our starting lineup so that we have a pure guy who can carry the team.
And
Jamal Crawford is way talented enough to start in the NBA.
100%.
He can score 25 points a game at a drop of a hat.
Who invented that? Was it the Detroit Pistons where, like, you just bring up off, like, your second-best scorer off your – bench? Is that, when did that start? I don't even remember, but suddenly it became a thing. And then of course Vinny Del Negro did that all the time.
We
brought off our and he would just light up the second unit. I don't know, man. I'm very excited. I think you're gonna see the Clippers make some moves. I think the Thunder are gonna get going. Russell Westbrook is, in my opinion, one of the best point guards I've ever seen play the game. What that guy does and how he plays is insane, and he goes for triple doubles all the fucking time. The problem with the Thunder is they have 1A and 1B, and I don't know if you can win with that. That's just my opinion. Who is the guy who gets the ball at the last second? And that's, it's hard.
I also think Russell Westbrook could use an actual old school pure point guard to be the guy who's distributing to him and Durant as a scorer.
Move that's him to like an Allen Iverson.
Yeah, yep.
To
that's
number two.
Making that decision for them. Because when you have Russell Westbrook, who can get a shot anytime he wants, bringing the ball up, it makes it hard to say, do I just go? I know I can get it. Or do I give it to Kevin Durant? Have somebody in the position to say, do I give it to Russell or do I give it to Kevin? Like, that's where a true point guard would really, I think, help them.
The problem with true point guards right now with this hard cap is, like, it's hard. Like, and I love Chris Paul. I love him to death, but it is really hard to pay somebody $20 million a year and gets us 11 points. It's really hard, because especially when you have somebody like DJ who's come on like a monster, and like lately he's been doing, you know, 17 points a game, but you need him all the time to do 17 points a game. If your point guard is taking up 20 fucking million of your cap, dude, he's like, I don't necessarily like the score. It's like, well, your salary doesn't warrant you choosing whether you want to score or not. We need you to score all the time.
But again, it's about change. I mean, look at Rondo when he was playing with those greats in Boston. It's like he literally, I mean, he would have earned whatever they wanted.
Yeah, but he had three legit go-to guy scores. Yeah. The Clippers don't have that.
Right.
They have Blake Griffin, who's come to be an amazing scorer. J.J. Redick, who is hot sometimes, not all the time. And Matt Barnes, who's playing out of his mind right now, but you never know when fucking his wife's going to hit him up for more alimony and his head goes fucking crazy and he fucking doesn't score anymore. Hey, that guy's, and I love him, dude. They're always like, we might trade Matt Barnes. I'm like, I'll come down to the practice facility and fucking set it on fire if you trade that motherfucker, because that guy is the heart and soul of that team. But he is mentally, it's day to day. And if his wife fucks with him, we're fucked.
I call Matt Barnes the girl with the dragon tattoo.
That's straight.
Yeah. He's kind of a badass, but he also kind of looks like a bitch.
Yeah, and he's kind of fucking crazy.
He's got tattoos like all over.
He's a fucking hurt puppy, dude. So we'll see. Now, I was thinking about this. If you were Chicago, would you trade Derrick Rose?
Yes.
With his attitude and the way he's operating, would you trade him?
I mean, it's all about what you get back for him, right? Like, who do you trade him for?
Okay.
Who do you
trade him for? Here's my suggestion. The Pelicans trade Drew Holiday and maybe Eric Gordon or a draft pick for Derrick Rose. And both teams get kind of what they want. They both, you know, Chicago gets an all-star point guard in return. There's not going to be a huge fall off. And the Pelicans get what I think they need, and as great. And Anthony, I've been singing Anthony Davis since day one, which is like, whoa, brave guy. You said that on your show. But, you know, I don't think he's a closer. I think he's a guy that gobbles up rebounds, block shots, can give you points. But he's not a guy you could run a set for at the end of the game to fucking get you the basket you need to win. And Derrick Rose is that guy.
Who the fuck would name a team the Pelicans anyway?
I didn't like it at first, but I like it now.
What, a squirrel's taken?
I don't know why.
The fuck?
You remember when that first came out? Suddenly this mysterious video came out of a pelican just eating every bird it saw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, whoa, maybe it is an asshole.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Redskins. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you're talking basketball.
No, it's okay. It's sports.
No, but what do you think about changing the name?
John, I'm the least political correct guy in the fucking world, man. But what I've discussed this before. What upsets me is the hypocrisy of political correctness. You know? If it was the New York Niggers or the fucking New Jersey Jews or the fucking Kansas City Kikes or the fucking Fresno Faggots, we wouldn't be even discussing
it.
I agree. I think they should change it.
Here's the thing, because I have two brothers.
Are gay faggots?
They're both
redundant.
They were both real pieces of shit growing up. They were the guys walking around, look at the nigger, look at the faggot, look at the kike, look at the whatever. Never. Ever did they ever call somebody a Redskin?
Yeah, but
it's a dead racial term. No one uses it.
Yeah, but that goes back to my whole point in that it's because they're politically not powerful and that they can't just put something out and the media just runs with it. That this is it's Redskins.
We were at war with them, and that was a derogatory term.
Yeah, I mean, you could go back. It's like it is a red. We're talking skin color. Yeah. I mean, it's just like we have. We've had this discussion a thousand times. We just don't do that in this country. To me, if this was any of those examples I put, it wouldn't even be a fucking issue.
I've had this argument with people all the time. Just like,
maybe me saying New York niggers is a little too much, but the New York, the Brooklyn Blackies, whatever you want to go, that
you know,
maybe is
you know
that
the
hard.
Wetbacks or the you know the Spicks or the
West Virginia Wetbacks, whatever. Yeah. We wouldn't even have this discussion.
Is Wetbacks in West Virginia?
Yeah, it's just
Des Moines Dagos. I mean,
it wouldn't even be a discussion. And you could come up with, like, you know what someone says?
Kansas City Gooks.
The Red Kings. It's not that different. You can even kind of twist it a little bit and keep the same kind of thing, but not being
Native
American. It's just, it's
the Reddies.
Or the Skins.
I mean, just for me, it's like, I'm not politically correct. I'll rack on everybody.
I think there's tons of more offensive names. I mean, Miami Hurricanes.
Hold on.
Hurricanes rip through Miami. A regular bit killed thousands
come
of
on.
I'm with you on that.
Right?
That could be wrong, but that's different.
Yeah, that's like.
That's different.
Yes. That's the power
of the totally
wind.
Different fucking thing.
You're not offending.
You know, it's not like the fucking, you know, the. Kansas State fucking Katrinas or anything like that.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying there, that you're like, hey, man, people die with this. But that's a different thing. We're talking about a slur where we've gotten – it's not just
–
it's not just
really
Bob's
a slur,
bar.
Right?
It's just like we're talking one of 30 or $32 billion franchises, the most corporate environment ever, and they're fine with that. And it's just like, to me, it's just – it has nothing to do with political.
I agree with you. And I was curious to ask.
Frank,
I'm sorry for
switch out real quick because we're going to get into some UFC thoughts.
No, I – what?
Go on.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. I'm sorry for bringing that up, but it is – I've had so many arguments in bars about this that they think that I'm an idiot for thinking they should change their name. So I just wanted to get your opinion.
Dude, I'm not somebody who goes, oh, you can't do black jokes, you can't do Holocaust jokes, you can't do rape jokes. Funny's funny. I'm like, is it funny or not? That's all I'm judging. If you're going to do a joke, it better be fucking funny.
Yeah.
That's not funny is offensive to me. Okay?
I'm not one saying, oh, this is, like, let me stand up for the Redskins here. I really don't give a shit, but... The thing is, like, to me, it's not a slur on the level. Like, you would say, maybe it's because of the football team, but I feel like you would walk down the street and you might say Redskins. You wouldn't be. You wouldn't have to look over your shoulder before you said Redskins.
Oh, I think you would.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard anybody call anybody else a Redskin. If an Indian walked in,
you go, oh, dude, look at that Redskin. I mean,
yeah.
Dude, we stole their country.
We stole their country, and the thing that we called them were Redskins. It's like, I mean,
we're giving it back one fucking casino at a time.
No, I'm giving it back one casino at a time.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I understand what you're saying, but do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
It just comes down to these groups, are they going to get, and each of these groups.
I mean, but you look at the Indians, right? Like, the Indian seems more offensive to me with the mascot and everything, big toothy mascot with the feather.
No, that was taken from Baba Booey. But anyway,
that was great. It's literally like a hairball, isn't it? It looks like a fucking hairball.
But Indians is not a derogatory term. It's not.
But the mascot.
Well, it's derogatory.
The mascot, he's smiling. What? Yeah, Indians can't smile?
It's derogatory.
What, it should be like this? What? He's a smiling Indian. What the fuck?
It's derogatory in the sense that Christopher, and I'm Italian, Christopher Columbus is such a fucking retard.
Yeah, he thought he was in the Indians.
I know. He thought he was in the
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a derogatory. I just, listen, I'm not politically correct, but I just hate hypocrisy. It's my problem with fucking, you know, everybody goes crazy over the Holocaust, which they should, but nobody's got a problem with the Armenian genocide because it's fucking not politically, we're not politically powerful enough to force the fucking issue. If we fucking were powerful enough, people would fucking totally recognize it, but everyone's able to fucking massage it enough, and that's, to me, hypocrisy. It shouldn't be like how powerful I am. It's right or wrong. And it's just like, I'll do jokes about Indians being drunk all the time and crashing their cars and fucking their casinos all day. But at the end of the fucking day, it's like you have a major corporate identity using that. And that's just how I feel.
I do too.
And I'm not trying to yell at you or speak.
I think they should be the Washington Armenian Genocide.
By the way, our fantasy football league every year is won by Ari's team, which is named the Armenian Genocide.
Actually, Big T Dobbs tweeted the picture. There was a tie.
Yeah.
And Ari is not the champion, apparently, or there's a co-champion, but the game ended at 124 apiece. Big T Dobbs has made a big issue about that if you look at it,
Ari
ends in second place in the official standing. So there's some controversy.
Real quick controversy, too, and I wanted to have him call in, and I fucking forgot to hit him up, and then we'll get into UFC. Huge controversy. I was in the Comedy Store Fantasy Football League.
Yeah. Oh, Josh Martin.
Called the OR League. We did a live draft. A bunch of people showed up to watch it. And I was getting murdered by everybody. Everybody as I'm drafting is just fucking telling me how shitty my team is. Josh Martin, and I don't know if you know who Josh Martin is. He's this really emo kid. He's
emo.
He's an emo boy. He's a boy. He's got the body of a boy. And he's got like... He's a hipster. Would we say hipster? Or just a boy?
Aspiring hipster.
Aspiring hipster. He's got weird glasses. He's got fuzzy hair. And he's got a lisp. And he's basically like, Sam, your team sucks. I go, dude, I'm going to kill this thing. He goes, no, let's make a bag of bets. I'm like, okay. He goes, here's what bet I'll make with you. I bet that your team will finish in the bottom two. If not, I'll do a bag of bets. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Is he deaf too?
No, he's just retarded. So I had to finish like... 8 or higher. We pull out the thing. The bag of bets is if I lose, he gets my spot in the league and I'm out of the league. If I win, he has to wash his face with our jizz rag.
Oh. Wow.
Three jizzes.
Yeah.
Not just one jizzes. All three.
So now he's trying to say there's a... What's it called? A certain time period.
Like a cutoff date?
Yeah.
Like a statute of limitations?
Statute of limitations. And I want to have him call in so we can pound on him, but...
What would be the statute of limitations?
Sent a tweet, because Jason Tebow's out of town. He's going to be gone for a little while. He hit me up I hit him up. I sent him tweets like, dude, I need you to jerk off into a rag and overnight it to me. How funny would that fucking be? Opening the thing and just picking up his jizz rag and then bringing up the Ari and he has to pump one
into
it. It'd
be a funny thing when you have to go to the FedEx and yeah. like anything toxic or whatever is like, maybe.
Yeah, so he's trying to get out of it and I'm calling shenanigans on it.
And he shaved his beard.
Yeah.
So... It's, so we'll see. The time is now.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. So I know you guys aren't huge UFC fans.
How do you know, man? I love the UFC. Man.
Do you really?
I love Brock Lesnar. Man. Okay.
Controversy.
What's the address of the rock you live off of? Under? You guys heard of this MySpace? It's fucking weird.
It's not a rock. It's a trailer.
You got to fuck this chick one more time. Get free pay-per-view.
I don't love the UFC because...
That's a callback, people.
I always thought it was a little barbaric. You know, just beat the crap out of everyone without those with the tiny little gloves.
I can understand that, but until you realize that, like, the amount of training that goes in to be that skilled at that level. It's like, I've always loved martial arts. I've lived on martial arts. You know, I'm back into it. It's fucking hard.
Well, I was trained. Yeah. You know, I told you I was trained by a bunch of UFC guys for my fight with a crazy Kevin.
Jesus Christ! But there was a huge fucking fight over the weekend.
Yep.
In Stockholm. Yep. Now I don't know if you followed this at all, but this this guy named Gustafsson, right?
Yep. Alexander
Gustafsson, Swedish fighter.
Yeah.
They did the first stadium show.
Wow.
Dude, it was huge. Yeah. And it was. It was done so it could be televised in America at prime time. There it was 3 in the morning. So these guys had to fight at 3 in the fucking morning. Stadium full of people. Gorgeous blondes everywhere holding Swedish.
I could get into UFC.
That's,
I
like,
think.
That's like any New York City bar. Yeah, yeah.
So they have this big fight, and it's this guy, Gustafsson, Alexander Gustafsson, the Mauler, they call him, versus. Anthony
Rumble Johnson.
Rumble Johnson.
Oh, that worked out. He had middle name Rumble, and he ended up being a UFC fighter. That's
but this guy
perfect.
Is so interesting because he started out 170 and he couldn't make weight ever, and he was just missing his weight. So eventually, they just kicked him out, and he went into this another organization called World Series of Fighting. And he went on a nice run. He fought a heavyweight, fought down at 185. He, like, fluctuates in the – but he's found this thing at 205. His weight is 205. And, dude, there's just something about American black athletes that just – they have another gear that nobody else has. It is a speed and athleticism that you can't find anywhere else.
Look at Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah.
I'll say it right here. Chris Rock did a thing on it. It is. I'm
well,
not
it's
saying
historical.
It
I mean,
was breeding. That's all I'm just whatever it is.
It is breeding.
It is breeding. It was genetic breeding. Selection
like
during
the
slavery
hipster,
days.
The hipster slaves, they didn't make it. They didn't get on the boat. Like, I don't know. It's just like alt comedy. You're staying in Africa. Yeah. We're taking the alpha brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And dude, there's just a speed that these guys don't understand. And Joe Rogan said something right before that because, you know, he did his walk to the thing and they're just booing him. And you know, it goes back to my love of Hoya paranoia. I love when somebody walks in and everybody boos him. I love really being the hated guy. It has actually affected my comedy at first because I loved pissing the crowd off and then bringing them back. I fucking used to thrive off that. And so he's walking down and they're just booing him, and he's just fucking focused, man. And he gets in the octagon, and you just see him staring there, and Rogan goes, wow, he's really calm. And it's just like, I'm like, oh, there's going to be trouble. And they bring the Mauler out, and I texted my friend. I'm like, dude, I get very nervous when I see a fighter with fat rolls over the side of his his boxers, man. And he looked a little out of shape, and I'm like, this might go bad. So I put some money quick on Anthony Johnson, 50 to win, Anthony Johnson for knockout.
Yeah.
I ended up winning like $340.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
And, dude, he just caught him, man.
That overhand right.
It's got to be weird when you're fighting a guy and you fucking kick him in the head and nothing happens. There's got to be something going, oh, my God, I just threw the fucking sink at this dude and he's just coming forward. Because if your punches don't hurt him, he's just going to keep moving through it. What do you
think,
Jake?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, when you think about what Alexander Gustafsson did, he was the toughest fight for John Bones Jones in paper. He took him 5 rounds, arguably could have won that fight in some judges' eyes. Now we go to, you know, he's supposed to win this fight. It's in his hometown. He's fighting Anthony Rumble Johnson. Sam said he fought in World Series of Fighting. He broke Andre Arlovski's jaw at heavyweight.
Which was a UFC heavyweight, former heavyweight champion.
Former heavyweight. Breaks the guy's jaw at heavyweight and comes into the UFC and is knocking everyone out. Now he's fighting John Bones Jones for the title. He took Gustafsson out in the first round in less than 3 minutes. Did you see how much time the judge gave him? Like, he gave him every opportunity to recover. And
oh, when you see his head, Gustafsson, we'll call him the white guy.
Right. Well, his nickname's the Viking. Yeah. We can just call him the Viking. Yeah,
I'm going to call him Techno Viking. Where is Techno Viking today? But Viking goes down.
Turtles
and
up.
And he's on all fours, and you just see Anthony Johnson kind of get on his back, and we're like throwing punches under his
He's
arm.
underhooking the,
and you
to
just
the head.
And you just see his head going. And that's when they're like, goodbye.
That's it. Wow.
It's a very small room for making mistakes. And this is the point. There was about, what they say, like 40, 50,000 people there?
Yeah. It was the second largest crowd in UFC history. The first one was GSP.
Yeah, I was at that fight.
Jake Shields, 55,000. Well, I mean, so it's like 50,000 people.
UFC's huge. I mean, it's taken over boxing. I mean, nobody cares about boxing anymore.
Well, that's
right?
Why I want to get into. We'll get into that. Boxing, too.
The interesting thing about the UFC is that I think we've reached market saturation in the United States. All the adults over the age of 25 are aware of what the UFC is. They're either into it or they're not. You know, this table speaks perfectly to that. But what they are looking for is that younger market segment, the 21 and under, the people who they can grow the brand with.
Yeah.
And also, if you think about the UFC scales well internationally because it's two guys fighting in a cage. You can have small organizations globally competing and then pick the talent once they start to ascend into the ranks.
And here's the thing about, and you guys will get this, most of your UFC fights are bringer shows.
Yeah.
In that,
right.
All the, you have your couple main names on the lineup, but once you get, and they'll be like on one card, how many fights will it be? 12?
Yeah. Two 12. On prelims, five
so
undercards.
Four
five
of
on
them
main.
Are names. The final bottom eight are all locals.
Oh, really?
So, because everybody who's in the U.S., each one of those people are probably bringing anywhere from 100 to 1,000 people to come see them fight. And it's everything. So, the early cards, you're like, who the fuck is this guy? Oh, he's from here. I was like, oh, that's why. To help fill the fucking room, man.
Yeah.
And it is getting bigger and bigger. Do you know that the NFL is skewing old now? The NFL is starting to have problems that baseball's having, and that it's becoming an older person sport.
That's because parents don't let their kids play anymore. You know, the concussions thing and all that. And I mean, what? And then soccer, you know, every kid gets to play soccer, and soccer's coming hard at them.
I just heard that. I swear to God, this is true, I think. The largest grossing pay-per-view now was a WWE fight the night in Philly.
Yeah, dude.
Sports entertainment.
What the hell?
I don't get it.
What is
that? I mean, you got the UFC. I mean, I grew up on wrestling. I can understand wrestling, but there is real cage fighting.
You got to remember, that's a soap opera. It's sports entertainment. It's not designed for grown men. And the grown men that are into it, I fall into that hipster kind of never suspended adolescence, never really.
Dude, Jeff Dye loves pro wrestling.
I know.
That guy's not hipster.
Yeah, and my friend.
But he has an interesting backstory from what I understand. He had a rough kind of like, you know, he's.
Oh, yeah, who else does?
Touched by his dad.
But Steve Simone does.
But you know,
Simone does too, right?
Yeah, a lot of people do. But
our fans are going to go nuts if we don't talk about Nick Diaz, Spider Silva this weekend.
Okay.
They're going to go crazy.
It is a big fight.
That is possibly the
biggest. What's the fight?
It's Anderson Silva.
I'm more excited for that than the Super Bowl, honestly.
Really?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I was trying to get
I've heard about
it. Anderson Spider Silva is arguably one of the greatest mixed martial artists
ever. I think he's the
greatest.
I mean, it's him.
Well,
or
with John
Jones.
Bones Jones, I mean, that's the thing is that John Bones Jones is eclipsing what Anderson did because he's never, his only loss is a disqualification. He's never been beaten.
So what do you think
and
of this
he doesn't
fight?
Train at all.
What do you think of this fight?
Honestly, I'm picking Nick Diaz on
what?
The upset. I'm picking Diaz on the upset. I don't think, I think we're going to see Anderson's going to be a step off. He's 40 years old. Nick Diaz is in his, he's still young and he's got better pure boxing. Anderson's a better Muay Thai boxer, but I think Nick is a better pressure boxer. And
it all comes down, can you take those knees?
Is Anderson Silva the guy whose leg snapped?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Who?
I'm taking the other guy.
When's the fight? I want to watch it.
This Saturday. It's the biggest thing. Yeah. It's going to be ridiculous.
Let me ask you something. Who would win in a fight? Young Anderson Silva when he first comes into the UFC versus John Jones right now?
John Jones.
Really?
I honestly think he's 6'4" with an 80-something odd he can hit you and you can't hit him.
But Anderson Silva back then was so fast.
But Anderson, look at Anderson
and he
Silva.
He hits like a fucking mule's kick.
Anderson Silva's using his length and his reach and his timing to affect. And then he also wants to counter. John Bones Jones is also a counter fighter, and he's got the reach.
Yeah.
Silva can't hit. Jones can hit you. You can't hit him. Jones is going to do that leg teep, which we saw Benson Henderson use against Cowboy. People always go, what is that? That's not doing anything. And I had explained this to somebody. You're resetting the fighter. The fighter's trying to throw a punch. You kick that leg out. Now they have to reset their base so that they can get off.
Yeah.
It's disrupting the timing. And then once you kick that leg, you can counter off that. So you've disrupted your opponent. Your opponent doesn't know he has to reset his balance before he can strike, and you can counter off of it. That's what made John Bones Jones so mystical to people, is because he's doing those oblique
kicks. Like a unicorn?
Dude, John Jones is the unicorn. And he's – wait a second. He didn't train in the offseason and was doing cocaine. And not doing was a cocaine user.
Yeah, well, there were talks about people couldn't believe he got busted. But a guy who struggled with addiction myself, my love of cocaine, there's a real sign that you got problems when you know you're about to get tested.
And
they
still blow.
And you're still fucking doing blow. He knew he was going to get tested and he kept fucking doing it.
Well, in his defense, there's gifs, and we posted it on Punch Drunk, but there's a gif of Chuck Liddell snorting a bump at an event watching it. I mean, so there, it's not an Mike Tyson, it's not unprecedented for somebody who steps into a cage to go punch another grown man or be punched by another grown man into unconsciousness to want to live on the edge a little bit. So
plus to wear that like affliction gear and stuff. You got to be on a little bit of drugs to wear the dragons and shit.
Dude, you're an MMA fighter. You're always in Vegas. Don't tell me you're not around strippers who want to do coke off your black dick and then get numb fucked. I mean, come on, dude. You know, it's like... It's a hard thing, dude.
Yeah. I think three of the four would be banging those chicks.
You're such an ass.
Fucking guy won't bang a fucking porn star.
How about this? What athlete?
Sam's retired it.
Do a little crossover question because you guys are UFC guys and I'm not.
We'll get into boxing. You like boxing?
A little bit.
Okay.
I think that's more fixed than most
boxing,
WWE fights. But what athlete would you give, non-UFC fighter, would you give the best shot in the octagon?
Beating?
Just best.
He means transition to the sport.
Transitioning from an athlete, a non-UFC fighter, into a fighter.
That's a great
From the
question.
Major sports or from any sport?
Yeah. Any sport.
Because any sport, you're going to take
D1
wrestler.
Mikella Maroney.
Well, no, you take an NCAA.
A non-fighter.
You're talking about a non-combative sports participant.
Yeah. I would take
that's a really good question.
Any of those linebackers in the NFL. LeVar Arrington back in the day when he had no fucking neck. Because, like, when you got hit, the problem is, I don't care how athletic you are.
Right, exactly.
When you get kicked in the leg, it changes your game. And it's like, they're not going to be, like, if you're like, I would give them a chance if it was just, like, no kicking and you just maul the guy. Maybe he got shot. But, dude, once you get a fucking bat to the leg, and that's how those kicks feel. They're bats to the fucking leg. You're fucked.
Well, and also, it also depends on, like, are we talking about, are these guys going to go train, or are you just going to throw them in there? Because a lot of it is, like Sam said, it's not about can you hit somebody. It's can you take a hit and not break.
Sure.
And more importantly, and this is what you see in a lot of fights, you'll see elite, and this is what they talk about how wrestling, you got to embrace the grind, is that wrestling determines whether the fight happens on the mat or if it happens standing. And when you take somebody down and you start to grind them out, at some point in time, you will feel somebody break. We saw that with Gustafson when his head snapped. I mean, he was already broken, but he wasn't going to tap. He was just going to accept the beating. But you break people when you're on the mat.
Like, I go with Dick Butkus or Lawrence Taylor.
Sure.
Coked out, cracked
out.
I
think Gronkowski looks like he could take a punch.
Well, that's the thing is, you can't teach size.
Right.
You can't teach size. You if you've got somebody who's naturally big and naturally strong, you can teach them technique, but you can't teach size. So you take a guy like Gronkowski, you give him a year of training, it's going to be a problem for whoever's facing him because you can't teach that size of athleticism.
Like, how about like a Palamalu? You know, he's like played yeah. bigger than he is.
Those
he's
guys
a little,
can
little
throw.
Bit of a wild yeah. man.
Also, those yeah. Samoans are just,
they
yeah.
throw.
You don't want to fight a Samoan.
Probably done yeah. plenty of cocaine in his day. Yeah. I mean, went to SC.
We
you
also
guys think that Pacquiao Mayweather's going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with yeah. these guys need to retire. They need this paycheck.
Yeah, they got
to
do this fight. Yeah, they, you know, yeah. And unfortunately, it didn't happen 5 years ago.
Yeah. That was great, dude.
But
you're you know, always welcome, bro.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
You can't write that gold.
How about
you can't write that.
Win now, Pacquiao. And...
Well, the thing is, Pacquiao's actually younger. He seems way older.
He does. Right,
well, yeah. he's taken more abuse. Yeah. He's not a counter. I mean, Mayweather, we've never seen him
yeah.
rocked.
Yeah.
We've never seen him rocked, let alone hurt. We've never seen him like.
How bad does Mayweather's legacy take a hit if he doesn't take this fight right now?
I think it's already taken.
Yeah, I already think there's a hit because it's gone this
with
long.
With the Mayweather fans who seem to be supportive no matter what, how much of a legacy hit does it take? Because he wants to retire undefeated. If he doesn't take this fight on May 2nd, this fight, no, not, oh, I'll fight Pacquiao 2 years from now. Yeah. Right now, is it?
I mean, I think if you're a Mayweather fan who's defending him up to this point in most people's opinion that he dodged Pacquiao, I mean, are you really? Is it really going to affect you if he just does it one more time?
And you know what? The problem is, Sam. He shouldn't be so selfish. This fight could save boxing in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Oh, it will save boxing.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is the fight that everyone's been. This will be huge if they yeah. freaking do this.
Well, I watched a heavyweight fight that was on Showtime, and it's the first time we've had an American heavyweight champion in a long time.
But is he going to fight when the Klitschko's to unify the belt is the question.
I think he's going. They say that he's got no chance. He says the Klitschko's are just scientific.
Well, the problem with the Klitschko's is, yeah, it's the same thing we were talking about with Gronkowski. We're talking a 6'7 guy who's technically, and he's similar
to
Mayweather.
6'7. That's the thing that this guy's got a chance with, though.
Oh, they're the same size?
They're both tall.
Well, Klitschko is just a very. That's the thing.
Klitschko's
you can't teach intelligence.
Have a fucking glass jaw. No one's
tested it. No one's tested their jaw.
I love boxing. People can hate boxing. I like boxing.
Yeah. I like boxing. I've trained straight boxing. I enjoy it. But when what we're talking about is when you put people in combat and you start to put rules and rule sets, you're already taking away the authenticity of the experience because in reality, we're like, well, what would happen if you did this? And that's where MMA came about is this, how do we solve this riddle? If this style met that style, what would happen?
And if that was correct, then you would take the helmets off of guys in football and you would take the pads
yeah,
out and everything else.
But that would be rugby. We got that. Rugby exists and we have something that kind of mimics that. Why MMA is dynamic is that it most accurately represents
a street fight.
Not only just a street fight, but all the
hot gay sex.
I don't know about that
but
either.
Boxing's an art form, though, too.
That's why I'm into kumite. I think that's the purest form of.
But you see, boxing is an art form, but it's. This whole thing is, there's an infinite variables of what combination punch you can throw, the slips, the jabs, the footworks, all these things. All these things are super important. However, it's a limited variable set because when you have jiu-jitsu, when you have wrestling, when you add these other facets of the game, now you have an accurate representation of the dynamic interaction.
Why can't
fighting.
There be a place for both?
There is. Oh,
there
no,
is.
There is.
There
is.
Boxing's not going to die. As long as people love watching people fight, there will always be The problem with boxing is this. There's no brand of excellence.
Exactly.
Meaning the NFL.
There's no UFC.
Those are the best players out there. The fucking NBA. Best players. UFC. Best fighters. Boxing doesn't have that. Golden Boy's been trying to do it. But as long as you have all these other fucking promoters who can pay these guys cash, you're never going to know, hey, dude, just know these two fighters are the best we can put out.
Here's the alpha. Everyone wants to be this alpha. We don't.
I grew up in the Joe Frazier Ali era, and Joe Frazier was my favorite. Those were the best guys they had out there. No,
Well, the problem with boxing is that a lot of the great boxers are now middle linebackers in the NFL. And as that money went up for football, they went to football instead of getting into boxing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a different time. You know, like. There was a time where the champ would, free dinner all around town. Oh, look, champ. It's fucking champ. No one knows. Plus, you don't get your head kicked in as much. The name of that heavyweight fighter who just won, except their boxing
fan. I can't even remember his fucking name.
And that's also because the mainstream media doesn't really push combat sports like they used to, because there's no incentive. Also, the star changes. There's an upset. It's not like NFL where the brand is the team. The brand is the fighter. Yeah. And all the fighter needs to do is take one loss. And that whole star power, that whole star vehicle has been knocked down. That's why Conor McGregor in the UFC is such a big deal. They're pushing an inordinate amount of resources to make this guy this huge star because he sells out Ireland. But if that star fades off, if he had lost this last fight, that whole marketing machine, that whole marketing push, it becomes invalid. And
I think people still like people. I think if Conor McGregor lost to Aldo, he'd still be able to be.
I think you get a couple more chances.
Yeah, I think there's something about being undefeated, but there's also some. I mean, Muhammad Ali had losses. I mean, it's dynamic personalities and stuff like that. The UFC's in trouble in terms of you can't say people are individual. What's the word?
Contractors.
Contractors, and then tell them there is a policy for everybody in terms of uniforms. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. But so we'll see, man. I hope big fights are coming up. The fights coming up this weekend are great.
It's going to be insane.
We'll do it. Thanks for everything you do for the Twitter and all that stuff. We're really loving it. John, you came on. You kicked some ass. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me, man.
It was fun to have you on. Joe, you always kick ass, so thank you so much for coming on. I'm sorry if I talk too much. I'm just...
Not possible.
Frank, thanks for coming on. You didn't bring your computer. Next time, bring it, because we need it. Did anybody call in?
Like in the first 10 minutes, someone called. It's just like, we're just starting.
Okay.
I tried to read the number, but there's no...
We have to figure it out, man, because calls are a big part of the show.
I agree.
We have to figure it out. I don't know.
Tweeting the number out, but there's no receptive.
Well, you have to get on this, the fucking Wi-Fi. Okay.
I wasn't behind the
But again, please check out Ari Shaffir's show. This is not happening on Comedy Central.
After at midnight.
He's the best part of that show. I mean, the show is great. But Ari
is
a storytelling show. And Ari is a master storyteller.
Oh, great, great.
He's a master storyteller.
All the clips are on YouTube as well, so if you missed it, they're all on YouTube, and we'll be tweeting them out from the Punch Drunk site.
All right. Well, great show, guys. I'd love to have you guys on anytime.
And Sam, thanks for having me, really.
No, anytime, man. If somebody's out, I'd love to have you on again. Had a great time. What is that you have on your wrist?
This is the...
LA Festival?
Yeah.
You still have that on?
Yeah.
You're like the guy who goes to work with the fucking stamps from the weekend of all the clubs you got into. What?
It was the night before when they were deciding who was going to get it. They told me I wasn't festival ready, and I was really bummed out about it until I saw George eat it, and then I was like, all right.
George
Perez, eat it. Because he never messed up, so I was like...
Oh, you mean on stage? Oh,
yeah.
So I can't even imagine what they said about me afterwards. all right, guys. Thanks
Caveman
for bringing
Coffee.
That wound up.
Punch Drunk Sports, Caveman Coffee. Bet DSI Punch Drunk.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you next week.